This is Debbie Dashinger. Thank you so much for joining us today on Dare to Dream podcast. My guest is back. She is the award-winning filmmaker and visionary author of best-selling books on consciousness science and energy medicine. Caroline Corey will be here in just a moment. And this show has been nominated for two People's Choice Podcast Awards, for Webby Awards, and it is, as we speak, in contention right now for a Coalition of Visionary Resources Award. And we were just featured in Welp Magazine as one of the top best 20 podcasts to listen to this year. So I thank all of these outlets for their kindness in recognizing the show and the material and our guests. This show is sponsored by Dr. Dane Heer and Access Consciousness. They do beautiful energy work out into the world. You can find them to become a facilitator or take a course at drdaneheer.com or accessconsciousness.com. I'm Debbie Dashinger. I'm about to offer, within a month, I'm going to be offering a five-day challenge for those of you who want to know what it's like to be interviewed on podcast and radio and also really understand what you're doing, have the full package put together, and actually get results. Join me in the challenge. For now, I'm going to give you a gift, but when you sign up for the gift, I will alert you when the challenge is on. The gift gives you templates and videos on how to do exactly what I'm talking about so you can be visible right now. Go to debbiedashinger.com/gift. It's debbiedashinger.com/gift. Caroline Corey is back here today. She's been on the show before, and she's going to be talking today about her latest film, which I have seen, called A Tear in the Sky. It's out on May 10th. Put it on your calendar. If you're into this subject, you will want to see this movie. Throughout her life, Caroline has had numerous UFO encounters, as well as ESP and precognition experiences, which led her to existential topics, the study of consciousness, and the mechanics of the universe. After teaching energy medicine and consciousness work, Corey founded Omnium Media, an entertainment platform for topics on the human condition and the nature of reality. Besides writing and producing, Corey appears regularly as a guest expert at major conferences and TV shows, including The Unexplained with William Shatner and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. Her movies have won 9 film awards and 2 nominations at film festivals. I actually think that's going to be old information, considering A Tear in the Sky is now out into the world. And her latest film that we're talking about today, A Tear in the Sky, will be available May 10th and after on many platforms, including Amazon and iTunes. If you'd like to find out more about her, go to OmnianUniverse.com. And with that, and with much excitement and ado, I welcome Caroline Corey back to the Dare to Dream show. Yes, it's so great to have you here.
Hey, Debbie, how are you? It's so good to see you again.
Yeah, it's been 4 months, but a lot happens in 4 months. In your life, a lot happens.
I know so much, especially for me with this new movie. By the way, it's already out. It's out May 3rd, but people can pre-order it. But then I think May 10th is when it becomes available more widely. So I'm just so excited about this one, Debbie. You've seen it, so you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I want to deep dive into it, and we'll do this gently so folks can follow us. So the first thing is, this award-winning documentary, Tear in the Sky, takes us on a journey into the UFO, UAP phenomenon. And I want to start with the kind of equipment that was used, the technology that was used to gather the scientific data for the film.
Yeah. So what happened is what I wanted to do with this film is not just rehash the information that's out there that, you know, the UFO phenomenon is real, but the government is hiding it from us. And, you know, or here are some videos that look credible, who took them. I mean, this information is already out there. As a filmmaker, what I try to do is to think of solutions as opposed to just problems. And in the case of UFOs, I thought, let's just, instead of analyzing what's out there, where we're at, let's see if we can recreate it. Is it possible to go out and capture some real UFOs, but from a scientific perspective? How would a scientist go about something like that? This would mean that you need a multitude of instruments. And I'm talking, you've seen it in even in a trailer. It's crazy. It's a huge amount of equipment, from optical, of course, cameras, all sorts of cameras, to spectrum analyzers, to radiation detectors, to magnetometers, to a whole range of equipment used at the same time and from different angles. Because when you do that, you start to have correlations, time correlations across multiple instruments that use different technology. Now that data becomes scientific, you see. And so that's the reason why, for example, we had, of course, the regular cameras, but we had night visions, which see into the infrared, but we also had the FLIR cameras. For those who know this, the FLIR is an entirely much larger infrared spectrum. It's like military grade. And instead of using one, we use eight to cover the entire sky. So when you do that and you're doing it over 5 days and five nights nonstop, you start collecting a huge amount of important data. And so when you study that data scientifically, now you arrive to very credible, real information about what it is that you're observing. So this has never been done before. In this way, at that scale, as you saw in the movie. That's the reason why I really am so excited. And I really think everybody who's into the subject should be looking at the type of instruments and devices that we brought along and how we went about it.
Yeah. And there's also a very impressive cast of real people, professionals, that are utilized to gather the data and then to research the data and start to put it together. Talk about who was there on hand for the filming, who retrieved the scientific data, and who even got the instruments engaged so that you can collect everything you did for the film.
Yeah, so what was fascinating was we were able to work with the guys who were on the Navy ships. If you recall, the Nimitz encounter was this huge deal. The Pentagon, the Navy put out these videos, the tic-tac-like objects that were behaving very strangely. And they said, hey, this is true. This is real. This is from us, the Navy, from that ship 2004. We don't know what it is. This is a UFO. And so two of the direct witnesses, Gary Voorhees and Kevin Day, were on that ship. And these other guys, actually, they started a group. These are the guys that ended up in my film. In fact, Kevin Day is the radar guy who was the first one to detect this object on his radar. And so to me, that was amazing because now we're bringing the real element. It's not just science, some impersonal story, but now we're bringing direct witnesses from the Navy, you know, who can tell us their story. And with that, part of the group was two very important scientists. One of them is an expert in exoplanets. So all he does is look for things, objects, phenomena in the sky. So he's Kevin Knuth is incredible for that. Matthew Shadakis, he's a physicist as well. His expertise is in dark matter. Therefore, he's used to looking at radiations and energy in space. So they were the ones who were analyzing the data. More importantly, we had David Mason. Now, this guy, oh my God, I mean, we were so blessed to have him. He owned most of the equipment, if not all, actually, that you saw, which is incredible. I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars that he let us use for this expedition. Plus, he's an inventor. He's an engineer, so he invented this technology, these devices that capture the light pattern coming from an object in space and converts it into sound, and then you can study that sound and project that sound. I mean, it's so cutting edge. It is so incredible. We were so incredibly lucky to have that type of sort of cast, you know, from the human experience to the scientist to the technology inventor. So this film is insane just because of that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, at one point, one of the gentlemen you just mentioned, Kevin Day, he's being interviewed towards the beginning of the movie. And for folks who don't know, he was OSSC of the USS Princeton and currently co-founder of the UAPX company. And Kevin tells the story of the aftermath that he experienced from being on the USS Princeton. And I got to tell you, I mean, first of all, God bless him for his vulnerability and transparency and speaking his truth. My heart broke for him and what he went through. And the fact is, he's not the only one. So talk about that. What happened? What did our government put these people through?
Yeah, that was an incredible moment in the movie, actually, when I was interviewing him. I could just feel his heart, you know, just totally torn and broken because of that experience. And I'm so happy that he was able to let that himself be vulnerable and just tell the truth as it was on camera like this. So, so his life was pretty much destroyed. He was laughed at. He was ridiculed. Now he was a senior chief. He wasn't some little guy, you know, I mean, not that it matters, but you're still human, but I'm saying is he put in many years at his job in the Navy for him to get to a point where you get ridiculed publicly. It's a lot for anyone to take. And I brought that element in the movie because it was part of the story of why am I going out investing in this whole production, doing all this? You know, it's not just for the sake of science. Of course, I'm into that as well, but for the sake of those humans who have real experiences and who are laughed at. And so Kevin Day represented all these folks as well. Gary Voorhees, who was with him on the ship. And there was another a Navy officer also that we brought as a guest who was also a witness who talked about it. So these guys are just a representation of what is really going on when you are in the Army, in the Navy, or a civilian talking about something like this. You're going to get hit. So I'm hoping that with this film, and also with what's been happening, you know, the Pentagon releasing all these papers, all these reports, and with us bringing this film out more into the mainstream because of the other cast that we didn't talk about, trying to bring it more to the mainstream so that we can have an open conversation this is not some crazy woo-woo thing anymore. The Pentagon is now talking about reports where, you know, talking about abductions and being in contact with, there was this 1500 page report that was just released by the Pentagon talking about the effects of having coming in contact with an alien spacecraft, radiation burns, nightmares. So it's starting to be more a mainstream conversation. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping bringing these guys' story in this film will add to this effort to make the conversation very mainstream.
Oh boy, excellent. Because that was one of my questions is, who do you know will see this? So you can cause some credibility and that level of conversation. Let's finally acknowledge what's been going on for many decades, well, for eons in history, actually, and openly discuss UFOs, UAPs. Do you have any knowledge of who may be privy to watching the film?
Well, another thing we didn't talk about in terms of cast is somebody who's huge, who is in the film, William Shatner. That's and Michio Kaku. Yes. But that Michio Kaku is incredible. Most people know him, a theoretical physicist. He's done so many incredible.
I'm a fan. I'm a huge fan.
Oh my God. He's such a joy to interview. Oh my God. He's incredible. So he's in the film giving his insight and his knowledge, but also the reason why I invited William Shatner is specifically for that reason first of all, he actually has a lot of experience in the world of paranormal and UFOs and things like that. And of course, Star Trek, that's sci-fi, but he actually himself has a lot of experience in the paranormal world. So I invited him for that reason, but also to bridge the gap to get us to the mainstream so that people, you know, are more open. Hey, William Shatner is in this movie. Let me see what that's about. So that's what I'm hoping will happen with him being in the cast, with the story being so strong, and that more of the mainstream will be watching this. And of course, everybody in the UFO world, hello. I mean, everybody should be watching this, because this has never been done before. It just hasn't. And just for that sake, and for the type of data that we ended up collecting, it's not just those flying saucers that you see on YouTube. I mean, you saw the film. Incredible, unusual things were recorded and studied. We can talk a little bit about that because it's so important. Please. That every UFO person should be watching this. We've seen, of course, we were able to recapture the Tic Tacs, which is insane. Stuff literally raining down, crazy stuff. Also, this phenomenon of an opening and closing with objects in it. This is insane that we were able to capture that in the film. So just for those reasons, every UFO person should be watching this film. And also people who are into consciousness, into human evolution, into self-development, because it's not just about UFOs. It's about, wait a minute. First of all, it helps with discernment. That's what I like to do. Not everything that you see is what you think it is. Look at how the way to study a paranormal phenomenon, but also our place within the universe. If we are discovering these phenomena that nobody can figure out what it is, not even scientists, not even NASA, not even anybody, well, wait a minute, what does that tell us about the fabric of space-time? What does that tell us about our reality? What does that tell us about potential technology? So I feel this film covers a wide range of audiences, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And as William Shatner said so aptly, crazy, when he looked at the film footage and saw what was going on, and he made sure we heard it a few times, but crazy. It really is as though you had this timeline. You actually had an insane timeline for a film. 5 days. Who does that? Who says, I'm going to commit this level of time, equipment, and finances and dream to creating this? And in 5 days, there is no doubt you are heard out in the universe, because they absolutely showed up and said, okay, we'll play.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of science, you know, the scientists who were in the movie, they're totally not open to anything that has to do with consciousness or communication. Or so it was like, okay, I'm on my own here, which is good though, because that's what this film was about. So that's good. But yes, it was like, wait a minute, what am I doing here? Oh my God, all this investment and the equipment and the energy and the time. Only 5 days. Why those 5 days? Why not those 5 days? You know what I mean? So I really had to kind of find my own inner guidance and connection and everything else to, you know, and really focus to intend to have something significant happen. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to make it this way or that way. Like, I didn't say, oh, we have to. I just said, just something significant happened. And sure enough, it was beyond my expectation. Beyond. I mean, you saw the stuff that we captured is I think it could be reality changing. I mean, it's like Kaku was saying, it shatters our understanding of reality itself. Mm. And so I feel like we captured and we touched on something huge. So I think I was heard.
I think you, yeah, absolutely. I loved it for that reason. It was so exciting. And one of the things they touch on towards the end of the movie is that this isn't the end, that the scientists want to keep pouring over the data and the material that's gathered, because they want to keep finding out what's going on. So I, of course, was left very curious, since the movie was complete and we know it's going to be released May 3rd, May 10th, what else has been unearthed about what you discovered?
Yes. So the most significant one is that opening and closing phenomenon, which is insane. We kept getting more and more data about the actual objects and things like that. However, it's hundreds of hours of data. You have to think about, like I said, I don't know how many cameras and how many, you know, all of them running 24/7 for 5 days and five nights. Mm-hmm. You know, just 1 hour of video is 216,000 frames, because it's 60 frames per second. And so that's a huge amount of data. They're still going through it as we speak. So even though the film is coming out now, people can see what we have so far, but it's still going to take them, I think, months before they go through all of the data. But also they are planning on writing a paper, a scientific paper, which is incredible. That also has never been done before for peer review. So it's a big deal. It's not something that you just put out like that. So I don't expect to see a lot of information released very soon after the movie. I think we need to give them a little bit more time.
Okay. And just let them know. Inquiring minds want to know. So yes. I would love to be in the loop when this happens in stages. You know, and what fodder this is for people with minds like that to have material like this to pour over. I think that's so exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so here you are, and you're being presented right now. I know many people know you, you're world renowned. And yet, if through this podcast, you're being introduced, and I hope this is so, to some new people, they're hearing about a best-selling author, someone who's a speaker all over the world, somebody who is a writer, a director, a producer, a creator of films and material. But I also want to broach a little bit on the full picture of who you are. Excuse me, because you have the gift, Caroline, of offering energetic healing. And you do very exquisite work around consciousness. Do you still offer sessions and do work on this?
Not on one-on-one because I'm too busy with this project. Once in a while, like if I have an opening, I would do that. But my schedule is too busy right now for individual sessions. You know, like I said, occasionally, but I've done this for so many years and trained so many people that I have a massive library on my website. A lot of people can just go to those libraries and benefit a lot because it's not just sessions, it's classes, it's training, it's my meditations, it's free stuff too to listen to. And so that's kind of how I'm dealing with that part of the process. But you know, I mean, I'm glad you mentioned this because to me, it's not like here I am, I'm a healer here, or I'm a teacher here, I'm an author here, and now I'm a filmmaker. Because at the base of all of these things is me, is who I am. And so even when I'm right now focusing on making a film, I'm still kind of the energy that goes through the film, which is about healing, which is about consciousness expansion, which is about evolving the human mind, mastering the human mind. And so that's why I feel like the classes or the appearances or the films are just a different expression of the same energy. So people can still benefit is what I'm saying. For even my last film, when you just watch it, even though you didn't do an actual energy session, but you get that kind of shift in your consciousness that I feel happens through all my work, I'm hoping.
Amazing. And what about the YouTube channel? Are you still doing healings now and then on the YouTube channel?
Yeah, so people can go to the YouTube. I have, obviously it's YouTube, so it's totally free. I have like 150 sessions or something, so people can take advantage of that. And I also do YouTube live as well. Like I go on and do something. I'm going to be doing some of that in a month or so as well. So definitely go to the YouTube channel, Omnia Media on YouTube, Caroline Corey. They'll find me there for sure.
Good. I'm subscribed. So I want to keep up with that because I have some of your, you know, purchased things from your website, and I really appreciate it. Frankly, I use them over and over again, because even though sometimes you're working on somebody else, I can feel it over here. I mean, I feel shifts and I feel puddled and I feel like something magical, phenomenal is going on. And even though you, I guess energy is everything. That's the bottom line. You're working on someone else, but I'm still receiving.
Exactly. And that's the idea. We're working on a quantum level. You know, there's entanglement, there's a quantum field connecting everything and everyone. And so, and what I'm helping with are patterns. And so these patterns are part of many, many people's consciousness. That's why usually I choose a certain subject. You know, relationships or detox or this or that, because I can sense those patterns, very much ingrained in many people. So I could be working on you and the neighbor could be benefiting because they have the same pattern. So that's what's so incredible. I have people who email me about sessions I've done on my website like 7 years ago or 10 years ago. Just think about that. The energy that is in that clip, you know, or that recording that was done 10 years ago on someone else that helped this person here today overcome an addiction. I mean, that's pretty crazy, you see? So that's why this work is so extraordinary. It's you start to think in terms of multiple dimensionality, you know, as opposed to this very linear way of thinking of matter being outside consciousness and so on and so forth.
Do you mind if I dig a little deeper? Because my experience is that you're incredibly powerful. And when I witness you doing this work, somehow you have a knowingness or an ability to see almost through someone's being that you can talk about organs or the trauma or where things are located or exactly what to let go of and how. And it's pretty amazing and cool. And so I was a little paranoid. I met you in person, yay, at the Conscious Life Expo a few months ago, and you spoke. And that was very exciting for me after having you on the show. And there was a little piece of me wondering, like, do you turn it on and off? Are you seeing through me? How much do you know? How does that work for you?
Well, you know, since I was a child, I could see that sort of energy. And so that's kind of how I got on this journey, because I could see beings, I could see through people, I could see things that would happen to them the next day. Things like that. So I've always had that ability. And so it's not that. So now, of course, I didn't know. I thought, oh, everybody does that. It's no big deal. So, but of course, it was with time that I realized, wait, no, not everybody's doing it. You know, so what is that? How does it work? Am I making things that, like, I was really testing myself to know how things were happening before, because I realized a certain responsibility, like, wait, can I just tell someone, like, okay, they need to go to the doctor like tomorrow because blah, 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 or am I going to freak them out? Or so I felt this huge sense of responsibility. And so I really took the time to study and understand the mechanics of consciousness and guidance and discernment, 20 years to develop specific methodologies to be clear, to be specific, and so on and so forth. And so at this point, part of this ability or this methodology is to be on and not on at the same time. So what I mean by this, like, now as I go about my day, I can see through everybody's, you know, bodies and stuff and everything, but it gets very overwhelming. So it's not that I turn it off. It's just that it is off. Like, I mean, it's just not something I'm focused on. But if you ask me, I can so easily, like, go there. Like, I don't need to prepare and, like, do a whole meditation. I could just, like, see it because I've done it so much, so many times. And so that's kind of how it works for me. And so you ask me something, I can see it. I retrieve it. I transcribe it. I mean, I tell you what I see. I see what needs shifting, so on and so forth. And then I just move on. I don't need to kind of be in that energy. Otherwise, it's way too overwhelming.
I would imagine. And from your perspective, you know, as metaphysicians, we are told that the body is self-healing and that anything that's an aberration just shouldn't be. There's usually something else going on. Is that 100% true? And can literally anything be healed? Or sometimes a cigar is a cigar and somebody really has something manifesting that maybe can't be handled in a healing session?
Everything can be healed, but you have to understand how this problem happened in the first place. So what happened is, for many people have cancer, many people have diabetes, many people have the same condition, but they didn't all create it in the same way and for the same reason. That's why it's not one size fits all. It's not one answer for everyone. That's why I do the exact same technique with one person, but then, and then they heal from, you know, phase 4 cancer, and another person doesn't, even though they're in the beginning of a cancer phase. And so why, if the method works, It's because each person has the same ability, because if you didn't have the ability, then no one would heal. I mean, period. If it wasn't something innate, then energy medicine would simply not work. If it worked with one person, it means it works, right? So it does work, but with certain individuals, when you have a condition, you have to go back to the root cause. Sometimes the root cause is not in this lifetime. Sometimes it's in another lifetime. And sometimes it's a karmic thing. You have to understand the karmic condition that is associated with this particular condition. And so then you have to work on the frequency of this karma. For example, you, let's talk about, it doesn't have to be an illness, but it could be something like a mental thing. Let's say in another lifetime, you are afraid to speak up because when you spoke, you were punished or whatever. You were put away. You're a scientist. And then they said, you're crazy. Let's put you, you're talking nonsense. You're saying the planet is revolves around the sun, whatever. So you're afraid to speak up. You come back in this lifetime and all of a sudden you have a condition in your throat, for example. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
You don't know. You go to all the endocrinologists. You go through all the medical, physical, blah, blah, blah. Nothing is happening. You take the drugs. And so if you don't go back to the root cause, this condition is going to continue appearing, or it would disappear and reappear. And that's one of the components. You see what I'm saying? So it's a karmic, it's something that you brought from another experience that was not resolved. That's just what karma is. It's a condition that was not resolved. That's it. And it's still waiting for it to be resolved in this lifetime. So that's kind of the problem. Sometimes you didn't resolve it. Now we're getting too technical here, but depending on the time that we spend not resolving it in another lifetime applies to this lifetime. So if it's 7 years there, it's 7 years here, but then you can shrink it. You can see it gets like a little technical, but the bottom line is it's about a karmic energy that needs to be resolved, not just what's happening in this lifetime.
Amazing. Fascinating. Yeah. I'm somebody who quote unquote has arthritis and perhaps bone on bone in the hip area. And I have tried a lot and God knows I am willing because I love being free and, hiking and swimming and dancing. And they're at a point where it's like hip replacement, which to me is like, horrific. So I ask because as a metaphysician, there's also, I don't know about that I feel shame, but I certainly feel disappointment. Like, what is happening with me that I cannot heal this? And whomever I go seek thus far has not been able to heal this, stem cells and things like that, that are very cutting edge. So it's a very interesting anomaly.
So for in your case, it's your mother. And I feel like your mother is attached to your spine. And so it's like there's this huge blockage in your lower spine because of your mother. So it's kind of, I will just leave it at that right now. But do you relate to what I'm saying?
Yeah, oh my gosh, it's just so weird too, because my mom has had precise problems. I mean, she's got Alzheimer's now, so she can't even facilitate assistance for herself. It's quite a history. However, she's had really particular physical issues that have manifested in my body, which also like has been very frustrating. So I'm aware, but like, that's very interesting.
Yeah. So like, I see your mother, you see how like I see, so because you asked me, so now I see. So I see your mother and she's like attached to your spine. And so that creates a whole blockage in the energy that's going down to your hips and to your leg, actually. Yep. And so, and your brother, there's a brother energy also on the left shoulder. Also, that's it's in. I don't know if this brother is born or not, but there was a brother also that has to do with your imbalance. I feel like your left shoulder is making an imbalance with your hips as well.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's very gracious and good that everybody gets to have a little something, something view of what you can do like that. And I do have a brother, and that's it, just the two of us. So I'm going to run with that in my life and see what I can create. I know, Caroline, and thank you. I know that you talk about DNA reconfiguration. You talk about 0 point healing techniques. I just know, even when I see those, say those things that you do, like I get goosies, because that's so exciting to me. Can you unpack that a little bit? Two big subjects, I know, but just give us a view of DNA reconfig and 0 point healing techniques.
Yeah. So just for the people who are watching right now, like I told you about your brother and your mother, but you know, if we were doing a session, I wouldn't just leave you like that. Obviously, like now I'm helping shifting and giving you some ideas to go in that direction. But normally for people to understand, I would help you kind of see the root cause, why they are attached there, and undo, and which gets me to the DNA question. Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, DNA is information. It's codes, right? It's a code. It's information that tells the cell, okay, so now you're going to rotate this way at this frequency, and then you're going to clump together a bunch of cells and appear, you're going to make blue eyes, blonde hair. You know, that's what the DNA is in terms of the physiology. It's information. So information inside your cells. So what I notice is that when people are stuck or they have blocks, and I look at the root cause, okay, what is that? I see patterns again. Patterns of I'm not good enough, I'm a failure. Well, your DNA doesn't have that information, didn't have that information. You didn't come in as a baby thinking I'm not good enough. You're born perfect. You know, you're like a clean slate. You're like, okay, here I am, you know, I'm going to live my life. So where does this, the information, when you grow up and you have emotional blocks and your parents do this and your friends do that, and you start to create, you have emotions, you react to situations, and then which give you belief systems. You know, if my boyfriend left me and my father left me, therefore I'm not good enough, therefore I'm a failure. When you have these emotions and these thoughts, where do you think these thoughts are going? It's not like you just have a thought and it's just like abstract and it's like it's gone, it disappears. These thoughts are actual frequencies, are actual patterns. And these patterns interact, they don't go anywhere. You're not telling it to other people, you're telling this to yourself. I am a failure, you're saying. And so this information stays with you and it goes in your cells. You're talking to your cells. So you end up adding this information to your DNA, to your cells, to on the DNA level. And the way I know this is because, of course, I mean, I see the cell energy. So I'm reading the pattern in your cells, and I'm saying, and the cell is saying, I'm not good enough, I'm a failure, you know, I'm going to be abandoned. So the way to undo this is to basically take out the information that you put in. You're the one who said you're a failure. Nobody told you you're a failure when you were a baby. You made that up. And so it's very easy. You start talking to yourself and undo, take out the information by saying, I ask and intend. It's a formula, you know. I ask and intend to release the belief system that I'm not good enough from every cell in my body, from every aspect of my DNA. You know, you take it out, you breathe it in, you inhale, you exhale, and you visualize information coming out of your body. And it sounds crazy for a lot of people who are not into this, but I tell you, you feel it. you know it, something just leaves you. You know, the more you do this. And before you know it, you undo what you put in on a DNA level. And we know that the DNA is mutable because we know that the DNA mutates when it has cancer, for example. It starts one way and then it changes. So if it changes, it means it's not fixed. That's all we need to know. If it's not fixed and it could be changed this way, it means it could be changed that way. Does that make sense? This is scientifically proven that the DNA changes. And so that's why. So all you have to do, but of course, you know, you can do it with intention, you can do it with frequency, you can send vibration, you could do it with light, you could do it with all sorts of ways, but the DNA is programmable, reprogrammable, deprogrammable. And that's the level we should be working at.
Yeah. Totally. 100%. Yep. It's the fast, easy way to get where you want to go and then some, and quickly, not a lot of talking, just energy is amazing. And for folks who are fascinated, I hope you are, I am, by what Caroline is talking about, she has a course on her website that literally teaches you how to facilitate this method, how to actually be a healer in this methodology she's talking about. So you can do this yourself or do this for people, clients, and so forth. It's really worth it. So I just wanted to let people know you don't have to, you know, feel like you're hearing just this much. You can actually get this program that she's talking about and learn how to do it on your own. You know, your bio, Caroline, reads that you have had numerous UFO encounters. I don't know how much you're willing to talk about, but of course, I'd love to hear it all. But if you would be willing to pull back the curtain on what your UFO encounters have been and any particulars around that.
Well, actually, for me, it was more extraterrestrial consciousness encounters than actual UFOs, but also UFOs, both. That's what, you know, because, but when you talk about, you know, I see beings and I, you know, they materialize and things like that, it just sounds so crazy. I mean, you know, to some people, but when you talk about UFOs, I mean, it's a different type of crazy. But in the film, I wanted to focus on the stuff that everybody sees in the sky, knows what a UFO is. We're talking about it, at least even in the mainstream. And I could talk about one very striking UFO encounter. Actually, it was right above my house. I remember it was Labor Day. And so I was actually inside my house and all of a sudden I felt like, go out. It was like 9:30 at night or something. So I go out and I look up and there's these three balls of light and they're like bouncing like this in each other. Like they're just like bouncing off of each other like that. And I was like, oh, is that? And then of course, the first thing I think, oh, no, that's like Labor Day. Maybe they're doing some, you know, searchlight things, you know, whatever. And I was like, no, that's not how, I mean, if they're doing searchlights there, you know, it would crisscross. It wouldn't bounce like this instead of, you know, off of each other. So anyway, I kept looking up and then feeling, I started feeling, wait, is this a UFO? I feel a presence, you know, I feel something. And so then I said, well, I'm going to communicate. If there's something, then something would happen. So I started saying, well, if you are a UFO, you know, like show me more. So the three balls of light suddenly split into four, and then they split into six. I said, okay, show me more. So then I started walking like half a mile in one direction outside my house, and they were like following me in this direction. And then I changed direction and they're like following me in this direction. I mean, it is so obvious. At one point there were like eight balls of light like this. I mean, it was so obvious there was some sort of communication happening. They could hear me. They were responding to me. And then they just kind of dissolved. I mean, so that one was the most like striking, and pretty recent, actually. That was like last year, I want to say.
Yeah.
So one of them.
It's yeah. funny when I watch you, I've seen all your films now. When I watch you on your films, I was hitting my boyfriend and saying, oh my God, you know who she looks like? She looks like the main character from Daryl Anka's books called Shards, where, I mean, he wrote these amazing books, really good novels, and they're about hybrids and people in other universes, parallel universes. And his main character, of course, is this beautiful, adorable female, and she's the heroine. And you actually really look like her as a woman.
What's the story? What's the author?
Well, it's Bashar, Daryl Anka, right?
He wrote a book.
He wrote a series, yes.
Oh.
I've read them up, and I think there'll be five altogether, and there's a couple out. And her picture, you can even go to Amazon and see her picture, and it's kind of like, you know, a teenage Caroline Corey. It's just amazing.
Oh, my God.
Starts. Oh. Yeah. So that's then I was like, Caroline, she's a hybrid. She's totally a hybrid.
Oh, I have no doubt about that. Like, I totally don't feel, yeah.
You're so sure. connected, you know, even, yeah, you're definitely so connected. I love that, by the way. I think that's really excited. It's exciting. So here you are, you're on the precipice. You finally finished this project. I can't imagine what went into it. And you completed it, a dream. So what are your next steps at this point? Where are you at with the film? Where is the film at?
Well, we're just, you know, launching it now. So it's a lot of promotion to make sure people hear about it, see it, watch it, and just to see, you know, how that's gonna, you know, kind of unfold. And also from again, scientific point of view, not just scientific, I mean, even the government is not putting out information like we are. So I'll be curious to see the effect that's gonna have with all the reports that they are releasing. So it's interesting. I wanna see where that takes us first. But having said that, I always have in the back of my mind, the next thing. I have some ideas. I think it will always have a film component. So what happens is I will use those films to do lectures and classes, because the information that we are capturing, whether it's UFOs or consciousness or mind matter, there's so much more to understand and to learn from. So that's kind of what I'm going to be doing a next feature with conferences and classes around these topics for sure.
Okay. And folks who are interested in following you in this and learning more, should they go to omnianuniverse.com?
That's for the classes. That's for, you know, healing classes, consciousness classes. You know, it's the same as carolinecorey.com. There's hundreds of classes and sessions in my YouTube channel. But for the movie, they should go to aetherinthesky.com. And that website has all the information about what we've done and the link to purchase the movie. So you could just go there and then you'll see all the platforms, Amazon, iTunes, you know, and that link gets updated the more platforms we get. So aetherinthesky.com.
And anything you want to say here at the end, Caroline, to the listeners?
I just feel that this is such an important time in history. Wow. I mean, we're not just talking about UFOs. We're talking about government putting out reports that we would never, ever think would be possible, like talking about abductions and sexual encounters with extraterrestrials, like what? So this is an important turning point in our history. And all the folks who are into consciousness or woo-woo stuff or paranormal stuff and all these subjects, I feel my work is hopefully going to help empower them, you know, to bring more validation, more credibility, like, hey, I'm out in the mainstream, out, I'm out in the public talking about it, putting out all this data, all, you know, with the, all these scientists and, you know, credible, measurable information so that you do your work, like just, you know, stop hiding, continue to be out there, to speak up, to speak your truth. If you believe in energy medicine, if you believe in consciousness and meditate, doesn't matter. I feel like there is no more ridicule. We've made that turn. And I'm hoping that my film and my work is that additional validation and empowerment tool for you.
Mm. What a great way to end this, Caroline, because it harkens back to where we started, you know, for people like the Kevin Days, who had a real experience with a UFO, and it was reported through all the right chains of command, and then they were turned around upon them, perpetrated against them, ridiculed, had families and careers taken away from them. And, you know, you can't imagine even emotionally what it does to a person who really did have that experience. I love that there is hope through your films to turn this around and give them and this experience a voice. Folks, if you're interested and want to see the movie, please do check it out at atearinthesky.com. And I end today's show with this quote from H.E. Davy. The undiscovered is not far away. It's not something to be found eventually. It is contained within what is right in front of us. The essence of reality is being born right now. It has never existed before. Reality is constant creation and destruction. And in this constant change is something unborn and undying, something that cannot be approached through the known nor the past. And in this space, the undiscovered and ever-changing moment exists, a moment containing all possibilities, the totality of existence, absolute reality. Reality is now. And in the now, we can experience the true nature of the universe and the universal mind. Subscribe to this number one transformation conversation, Dare to Dream with Debbie Dashinger. Please like, comment, and share this show with all your friends. I do read all your comments. And next week on the show, the guest featured will be Sister Dr. Jenna, who's a spiritual mentor, author, media personality, and speaker. Sister Jenna hosts the America Meditating radio show. She's got a new book out, and she's the founder of the Brahma Kumaris Meditation Museums. Thanks for joining us today. Remember, atearinthesky.com, and be sure to create all your dreams energetically and in reality.